We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Hey, welcome to Blue Wire. After you finish listening to this awesome Blue Wire podcast, make sure you check out the other pods in our Blue Wire family. Okay, I know, you're probably wondering, how do I do that? Well, it's simple. Go to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts and search Blue Wire. Ta-da! They will all be there, so have fun listening.
Welcome to In the Know, the Bourbon Street Shots Podcast. We're your hosts, Shamit Dua and Mason Ginsburg, and this is All Pelicans All the Time. Welcome to another episode of In the Know. Mason, I just want to let you know this is the time of year where I hit the unfollow button, or at least the mute button on your profile, because baseball has officially started.
Opening day. I thought you were about to make a comment about my woodchuck check tweet to you this morning.
Okay, no, that garbage is year-round, so... You know, I'm tempted to hit the unfollow button there. But now more so than ever, you know, I just cannot care about baseball in any sense. All over my Twitter feed. I go through painstaking, you know, steps to avoid football on my Twitter screen and avoid baseball. Pretty much any sport outside of basketball. And, you know, call me an elitist because I only watch basketball. I don't care. I have tailored my feed very specifically. And, you know, there's always a handful of people that ruin it. You, Ben. Oh, my God, Ben, stop it. I know you're a Yankees fan. Chill out, bro. But, yes, please.
So I just told you before we started recording, I'm going to New York this weekend to hang out with my best friend. He lives out there, and it's funny because he hates baseball. And so he sent this to our group chat. He sent this Onion article that I think is shared every year around this time. Nation already sick of baseball.
Just America's pastime.
And I mean, I get it, but it's just the sport I was always best at when I was a kid. I played it for years, and I get why people think it's boring. But
I played baseball too when I was growing up. I was good at it, and then, you know, I still didn't like watching it when I was a child, even though I played it. I thought it was too boring. I probably would have thought it was boring playing it if I wasn't a pitcher. At least, like, you know, when you're pitching, you're doing something pretty much every, you know, yep, literally every possession.
Yep. Yep. And I mean, doing the same, I get it. I'll send you I'm going to go to the Yankees game on Sunday if the weather's nice, and I'll make sure to send you pictures of everything that's happening.
Please no. Okay. Back to our actual sport we talk about, which is basketball and the Pelicans. The Pelicans haven't been doing well, or they've been doing well depending on what your expectations are, if you want.
All a matter of perspective.
Yeah, it's all a matter of perspective. But in terms of a win-loss perspective, they're not doing well, and the games aren't particularly close. They've been blowouts for the most part. But we've gotten to see some cool things, some Frank Jackson balling out a little bit. We have a new player we picked up from Milwaukee off of waivers, Christian Wood. This is a guy that I wanted us to pick up from the G League last year when Boogie went down. I think he is a very intriguing candidate, and he last game he had 23 points, 9 rebounds, 6 blocks, 3 steals. Like, you know, he just looked fantastic. Obviously, it was against a bottom of the barrel team in the Atlanta Hawks, and John Collins is just not a great defender at all. So, you know, it's a little bit difficult to project anything going forward. I mean, it's late March where teams are just trying to escape the season healthy. So you're going to have a lot of Cinderella stories here, and you wonder, like, can you project any of this out? Chances are no, but I like Christian Wood. I legitimately think right now he is better than Diallo. And I don't think that's saying much, but I just think he's just straight up better than Diallo. Do you agree?
I don't know if I've seen. So first things first, his offensive performance last game was better than any offensive performance I've ever seen from Diallo, just because it's more versatile. So I'll give you that. As far as better prospects, I'm not there yet, but that's only because I haven't seen enough of him. That's not because I don't think it's true.
He has like the second highest or the highest, I think it's the second highest like scoring average in the G League of all time, and like the second highest like PER of all time in the G League. He has some obscene stats in the G League, and Czech did too, but like his are on another level.
Yeah. And I mean, the most hilarious part about this, well, maybe not most hilarious, but it was essentially the Bucks and Pelicans, not using the mechanism of a trade, traded Tim Frazier for Christian Wood, and I think that's a win no matter how you slice it. I mean,
it's amazing.
Yeah,
you have another guy on the books for next year for about $1.7 million. I mean, it's cheap production. Love it.
Yep.
And I asked this question on Twitter today, and it's probably a dumb question, just given how inconsequential any of this is, and how these players are likely not going to matter at all. But I was like, you know,
don't let Ryan Schwan talk you down, man. You do you.
Hey, man, Schwan speaks the truth sometimes. He's a little bit jaded, but he speaks the truth. But, you know, the question was, if Christian Wood continues to play good basketball, I'm not talking 23 and 9 and 6. I'm talking if he continues to be productive, if he can be like, you know, an 11-6 player, or, you know, 15-6, whatever the case may be. If he shows good potential on both ends of the floor and he looks like a more complete player than Jahlil and Czech, for that matter, then what do you do with Jahlil and Czech going forward? I think we've been talking about Czech the last few, you know, we've done it a few times, and I think it's gone from like, yeah, whatever, I don't really want him, to like, oh, he's gotten a little better, I wouldn't be upset given him his qualifying offer. So, does the insertion of Christian Wood change anything?
First joke of many. Does it change what?
Change your perception on what you want to do with Diallo and or Ja. Do you think Ja is still unequivocally coming back because his contract is so good?
Yeah. I think Okafor's back. I think there's like pretty much a 0% chance they cut him. I think there's still a scenario where they trade him, but I really don't think that's going to happen. I think he's going to stick around. And same goes for Diallo in the sense that like, I don't think they're going to just not extend him a qualifying offer. I think that they would move him if possible, if necessary. But like, I mean, both those guys getting less than $2 million each is, I mean, I don't think you cut bait on that. Just it's cheap labor NBA from an NBA standpoint. So, and I think they're both good enough to justify those contracts, whether or not they're guys who you want to keep around for the long term. That's a totally different conversation, but I think you keep all three as far as their contracts for next season. And then you may move one of them via trade if you maybe you can grab a second rounder from somebody for one of them.
So I've gone back to my initial stance on Diallo, which is I don't care for keeping him, simply because, I mean, I think the Pelicans are going to have at least two first-round picks this coming draft, no matter what. You know, I can't see a team that they can trade AD to and not get another first-round pick. I think Clippers might be the only one. Do they have a pick this year? Because I know they officially convey their own pick to Boston, but do one of the Philly picks, or I know the Miami pick is 2020 or 2021, but does the Philly pick convey this year?
I'm not sure. I'd have to take a look, but I was looking on Real GM, but I'm not sure if that does or not. But I mean, so fair. I mean, I understand that.
But in the event you have two picks, I think there's a high likelihood at least one of those draft picks is going to be a big, right? I think there's a more than 50% chance that one of those is going to be a big. That's not
my dad didn't hesitate to send me a Yahoo mock draft article yesterday that had us taking Jackson Hayes from Texas.
Love that guy. I think Jackson Hayes is a solid player, and I think he's right around the range the Pelicans fall into. Brandon Clark, who I've been hyping up, is another guy that falls in right around that range. Then you have a bunch of other guys who are not your traditional fives, but they're four fives or three fours, but they still need big man minutes. So you're going to get at least one of them who's going to need minutes. I'd rather give minutes to than Diallo. And then that's not even counting any guy you get back in a trade. When you trade AD out, there's a chance you're going to get at least one big man there. And then that's not counting any free agency stuff. So, how many roster spots do you actually want to allocate to bigs? Which I think if you end up keeping Diallo, there's already three there, and they're all G League-level players effectively. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's being a little bit harsh, but they're none of them are starter quality, and you still have to find starter quality bigs, and you just don't have enough minutes for them. So I think Christian Wood is the next replacement for Diallo. Just the energy guy that can, do athletic things.
Okay. I mean, so you would rather just cut bait completely with Diallo and not even offer a qualifying offer?
Yeah.
Interesting. I don't agree, but I totally understand picking Wood over Diallo.
But I think I made the point, you're going to find minimum level bigs who can do more than Diallo can. So, why?
Because there are teams that are going to buy into his upside still. I mean, it's the same thing as look at Aminu. I mean, I'm not saying this is the same thing where Aminu plays a much scarcer position in a wing. So I hear you. Or 3/4, I guess, at this point in his career. But I don't know. Diallo's still a kid, and he's producing on a permanent basis, producing pretty well. And you and I know what his limitations are, and teams that scout him are going to have an idea. But I think that he's worth taking a flyer on for a team, and I certainly think he's worth another year at under $2 million. And if a team makes him a multi-year offer, see you later.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe not. Guess this is the point we've gotten to where we're fighting over Diallo every
podcast. Oh, man. Seriously. There's a new low in every podcast.
Yeah. Anywho, there's been more stuff in the news. I think you were tweeting about some stuff with Boogie. Speaking of big men, Boogie had some interesting stuff to say. Why don't you recap that for us?
Yeah. So Boogie just – he likes to have his voice heard and get his message out however he can. We've seen it with with Spears, and now we're seeing it with Chris Haynes as an interview came out for on Haynes's podcast with Cousins. And apparently DeMarcus Cousins was in the know before any of us had a clue about about Anthony Davis looking like he, was going to leave, and apparently it doesn't stop there. He was also expected Dell Demps to be fired, and apparently he thought that was funny. He laughed about it, and it's a bunch of loaded questions. Well, not a bunch. I shouldn't say that, but specific loaded question from Haynes about if the Pelicans had done right by you, would things have gone differently? And it's just, oh man, like it's incredibly frustrating, and like in the grand scheme of things, does what anything Cousins say matter? Not really. I mean, seeing some of the replies to some of his comments from some more casual fans, I mean, they buy into what he's the BS that he's throwing out there. They're buying into it, and so it shows that what he's saying. There's a method to his madness. It's crap.
The method to his madness is, how can I stay relevant?
I think that's unfair. Like, he's still a good basketball player.
Okay, hold on. Hear me out. He is struggling with the Golden State Warriors. Now, he'll have occasional games where he looks really good, but for the large part, the Warriors with Boogie in the lineup just don't do well.
You know that, and I know that.
We've seen that before. but they're not doing well. And actually, Warriors Twitter and some of the reporters around the Warriors have recognized this, and they're writing about it. And the Warriors' best lineups are still, lineups without Boogie and lineups that feature Draymond at center. Now, maybe, this all changes in the playoffs where Boogie can truly cause, mismatches, but he hasn't been effective. He's coming up. His contract is running out. He's going to be a free agent this summer. I'm not entirely sure he's done anything to warrant a big money contract that he's looking for. So how can he put himself in the news and on people's minds? Talk about some stuff. That's my theory. Obviously, he doesn't need – I mean, he's a star basketball player. He doesn't need any help staying relevant. But I do think that there's some calculation behind it.
It's this ongoing thing since last summer. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious with some – I mean, there are some details that we don't know and we may never know about how things kind of went right around the start of free agency, like, and what that conversation was like. But, I mean, things we do know are that the Pelicans made him – according to Mark Stein, they made him a two-year, $40 million offer after his Achilles tear late in the season, but before free agency, and Boogie said no. And from there, we don't really know what happened.
So here's – I don't know if I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but I feel like the statute of limitations has kind of passed, and I can talk about some of this stuff a little more now. Okay. But Boogie – so what I do know is the Pelicans repeatedly tried to reach out to Boogie, and Boogie just straight up wouldn't pick up the phone. And this is over the course of the summer up until July 1, when free agency began. And he was trying to route everything to his agent. Mm-hmm. And the Pelicans were continually trying to reach out to him, and he just had no interest. They had AD try to reach out to him. And, again, there was a huge communication breakdown to that, and it stemmed from Boogie entirely. And the Pelicans, throughout the process, had multiple offers at each stage. And the 240 is the only one that, was, like, publicly reported. But,
right.
they had – multiple.
It's like Deal or No Deal, it sounds like.
Right. And Boogie was clearly jilted by the fact that, the max deal wasn't going to come his way, or that five-year, four-year contract wasn't going to come his way. But he just simply didn't want to work with the Pelicans to figure something out. The advantage that incumbent teams have in free agency is they're not limited to NBA tampering rules. They can talk to their own players anytime they want to up until free agency, right? And that's what the Pelicans attempted to do. So this whole idea of like, oh, I never got a call at midnight, the Pelicans never came to me. No, the Pelicans were trying to go to you throughout that whole process. You just didn't want to pick up the phone.
Yeah.
And so it's a little bit like, I don't think it's fair to say revisionist on his part, because I don't think that's the most accurate term, but he's definitely trying to spin the narrative in his favor. And of course he should, he's an athlete. He wants it to make it look like, you know, the Pelicans made a major mistake by not signing him. But let's consider the fact that if they did, you know, the Pelicans would be stuck with him on a long-term deal. And there's a huge chance that AD still would have asked out, because he didn't play his first games until, you know, basically AD's trade demand.
Right.
So the Pelicans still would have sucked. And AD would have been like, see ya. And then we would have been stuck with Boogie's contract.
Yeah. So, I mean, just look how we saw this year how the team fell off because of the lack of depth, right? I mean, they added Julius Randle as a third big, who in that role made a lot of sense as a third big behind Nico and AD as the starters. But like in this scenario, you don't have Randle and you don't have Boogie for half the year. And so you're on thinner ice to start the year than you were even as the Pelicans were how the season actually played out. And so
and the whole cap situation would be a mess. It wouldn't be pretty.
No, it really wouldn't be.
But here's the biggest thing: is if AD truly wanted Boogie, excuse me, couple of beers. No, I'm choking. Shout out, Alvin. No, if AD truly wanted Boogie back, Boogie would have been a Pelican.
That's one of the most frustrating parts. Like the some of the responses, like, oh, you know, it really showed AD how he would be treated in the same situation. It's like, no, you got to be kidding me. If you don't think that their franchise player wasn't clued in every step of the way on
why was Sam Frazier on this team for as long as he was?
God damn it.
Come on now.
Like, again, credit to Boogie. He's created this. He's, you know, given multiple interviews on this topic, but he has turned the narrative or the perception from some fans in his favor. And so it's, in a sense, it's worked, but man, it's frustrating. And I think when you mentioned statute of limitations and this shit's getting old. Like, I'm tired of it. Hopefully, you know, the summer's going to come pretty soon and we'll see. We're going to see really quickly Boogie betting on himself was the right move. I think you and I both agree that it probably wasn't, but he decided to take a one-year deal and kind of the perfect environment for him where he could come back on his own terms and kind of gradually be entered back into the lineup, not have to go in and play 35 minutes a night right off the bat. And the idea, with the goal being to really show teams that he's back and he can get a long-term big money deal. And so I don't see it happening.
I think ultimately what happens is he ends up with a monster one-year deal with the Lakers. You can just see that happening, right? They're going to strike out on all their free agents. He's a good guy for a one-year deal candidate. I think that's a fair bet to make. Can be a boom or bust guy. He gets his paycheck, and, you know, Lakers get their star.
I respect the Lakers slander because that would be every such a massive
guess, baby. Don't worry, my whole shooting my shot, plug myself, hire me. That's coming later.
I figured as much. But yeah, I even there, like, there are teams with a lot of cap space this summer, but at the same time, like, yeah, maybe he gets a 1 year, like we were talking about the Pelicans for Randle, but like I don't know. I mean, your points were all fair about how the Warriors have been a lot better with him off the floor. I don't know. It's gonna be tough for him.
Okay, let's take a short break to do a little shout out with our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Our next sponsor is Ethos Life Insurance. Life can be stressful, but getting life insurance shouldn't be. That's why there's Ethos. Ethos is a modern kind of life insurance that's super fast, incredibly affordable, and very uncomplicated. At Ethos.com, there are no medical exams for policies covering under $1 million, no hours of paperwork or meetings with pushy representatives. It only takes 10 minutes to apply, and you can rest assured knowing you've taken the steps to protect your family, and in most cases with Ethos, you have that peace of mind for less than a cup of coffee a day, with no hidden fees. Having life insurance can free you from stress. Getting life insurance shouldn't cause it. Discover how uncomplicated life insurance can be at Ethos. Get your free instant quote and submit your complete application in minutes. Just go to getethos.com. That's E-T-H-O-S. Getethos.com. Getethos.com.
Welcome back, folks. Now, this week has been kind of a unusually busy week in terms of news that we get from an ownership level. Get both Gail Benson and Dennis Lauscha, and I think even Mickey Loomis, you know, they've given interviews to Larry Holder of The Athletic, mostly from, you know, a football perspective, because, you know, there's very relevant football things going on. But Larry did have a chance to ask them about the Pelicans and the future of the Pelicans and kind of where they are organizationally in finding a new GM. And, you know, they had a couple of interesting things to say. I think the one that made the most headlines is Gail Benson very firmly saying she's not going anywhere. She's never selling the Pelicans or the Saints, but, you know, that part's understood, but never selling the Pelicans. Were you surprised by that? Are you comforted by that? Do you have any feelings towards that?
I mean, it's always nice to hear stuff like that. And I don't know we've heard it that in that declarative of a manner yet. But that being said, we've never heard anything to the contrary. And that's probably the most frustrating part is that, like, well, I don't know why. The fact that she felt the need to say that in the first place and people keep asking her about it is kind of – that's the annoying part to me. But no, I mean, nice to hear her say it. And then shout out to Jesse. Jesse Brooks has a good piece about everything with Gail on Bourbon Street Shots right now. He just released it yesterday. So be sure to check that out as well. But yeah, I mean, that's my general sentiment is that it was nice that she said it. Happy about it, but also at the same time frustrated that she felt the need to in the first place or anyone need to ask her about it.
You blame Bill Simmons for that.
Yeah, fair enough.
And his cronies. But no, she said some, you know, other interesting things. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot to kind of unpack in both what she said and what Lauscha said. And we'll kind of get through that in one by one. So one of the questions that was asked of her was, are you evaluating the structure with Mickey Loomis over basketball and football? Because that's a hot button issue. And her reply was pretty declarative as well. Here's what she said. Mickey is going to be totally focused on football. Mickey wants to do all the Saints stuff as he should. And so our new general manager, although Danny Ferry is doing an incredible job with what he's been given, and so is Alvin, but we're going to get a new general manager, and he's going to be solely to the Pelicans. Totally. Mickey will not have any role with the Pelicans, it's going to be totally separate. And then she was asked, will the new general manager make the decision on the head coaching position? She was like, he will. So those are pretty declarative things. And although, you know, we've heard similarly in the press releases that have come out since Del Demps' firing, for her to come out and clearly and explicitly say, Mickey will not be doing any Pelicans, and whoever they're going to hire is going to have total control, is a little bit reassuring, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. It's, again, things that we've heard. We've heard different flavors of that, but never anything quite so pointed and definite. And so I think it is reassuring. It'll be something largely ignored by the rest of the country, and it'll still be, and speculation will continue, even though the owner of the team very explicitly said these things. But yeah. I mean, I think we can feel a little more comfortable than we felt the other day.
So I think we've talked about it on the podcast. I think if you read Jason Commies, he had a really great article right around the time of Demps' firing about what ownership should do. And this is, they're kind of almost exactly, you know, following the plan that he laid out. in which they are explicitly declaring Mickey out of the picture, kind of. Mm-hmm. You know, the next steps are to be very specific about what the structure is going to be. And speaking of that, there is a very relevant quote from Dennis Lauscha. He was asked, you know, a lot of the same stuff that Gail Benson was asked. And the question to him was, on the Pelicans front, it's tumultuous. What's your overall perspective on where the team is now? You're going to be going in one different direction for sure with the general manager and then Anthony Davis. So he had a pretty, you know, long-winded response that basically surmises to this. He's saying, you know, we're recognized for being the Saints, but we want the Pelicans to be on equal footing. We want to have the same championship aspirations, and we want to empower the Pelicans with, you know, all the resources. And he said that in a pretty forceful way, and it didn't seem like it was just lip service. So I want to read a paragraph. It's not really a paragraph because that's going to sound like I'm going to drone on, but I want to read a portion of his reply that I thought was very relevant to kind of what's going on and kind of the steps the Pelicans need to be taking. And it's about, you know, the structure. So he replies, so we have to do everything we can to commit ourselves 100% to basketball. I'm not saying we weren't doing that, but we've got to make sure we have the structure in place to commit ourselves 100% to win a championship in basketball. And that's what we are working on. We're going through that process right now. We're going through the process of evaluating the structure we currently have in place. We're talking to, and we've said it in our press release, we're going to hire a consultant to help us with that. We've been talking to that consultant. At the right time, we're going to announce who that was, and the process is rolling along. But before we pick a new GM and before any decision is made involving basketball, I think we have to make sure we have the right structure in place so we can do as best as we can. That's where we are. Geez, he mentioned structure like 8 times in that response.
Also a consultant. So are you going to tell everyone that you're the guy that's picking the new GM or what?
I wish. They should hire me. They should bring me in. So here's my weekly.
Yep. There you go. So, you're welcome.
You know, there's going to be a whole interview process, right? Do you trust these people to ask the right questions in the interview? I mean, like, come on now. You're going to see Mickey Loomis at the table. You're going to see Dennis Lauscha at the table. And, you know, you're going to see Gail Benson and probably get Greg Bensel and maybe some other assistants. And they're probably, you know, these guys are very accomplished people, and they really know ins and outs of business, and they really know ins and outs of football. But you might want, you know, someone with some basketball background to interview basketball people. You could bring me in. I could consult you on the questions that you can ask the GMs. That'd be great. Anywho, moving on. That's my pitch for the week. He spent a lot of time talking about the structure, and I think he doesn't, you know, outright say it, but it seems like he's really pointing to the fact in the past, the structure they had in place wasn't ideal, and they want to change that. And a great way they can change that is to officially bring on a president of basketball operations. Don't you think?
Yeah. I mean, it shows commitment on a separate level than when we've seen before.
He's actually saying that, like, yeah, we know we kind of messed up in the past. I don't think he beats around the bush there.
Yeah, I mean, I think you mentioned he was, you know, he's pretty transparent and understands where the team needs to improve, and I think these are all the right steps.
Okay, so get this. You know, I don't want to get people's hopes up because with this franchise, it could literally be anything. You know, next thing we know, it's going to be Avery Johnson as general manager. But I've been putting some feelers out to people around the league in a couple different front offices just to gauge their idea. There is a decent amount of smoke that, you know, this organization is looking to hire someone like Danny Ferry. I mean, apparently Danny Ferry is in very good standing with the organization, but not in the general manager spot as the president. And then he brings in someone under him, like, let's say, Trajan Langdon, to be the general manager. And that's kind of the avenue that they might be thinking of pursuing. Now, you know, none of this is concrete. And again, the Pelicans are going to probably take their time before they reach a decision, and a lot has to go right for things to happen. I mean, like, let's say you put in Ferry as the president, you know, is someone that's already kind of a number two, like Trajan or like, you know, Gerson Roses, going to want to come in and again kind of be a number two, even though they'll have like a promotion in terms of name, like they'll have the general manager title that they don't currently have. Mm-hmm. They won't necessarily have the control that they want. You know, that might turn off some people that want the level of control. They don't want to be butting heads against, you know, Danny Ferry.
Yeah.
So
like that's an instant act. Like there's no way David Griffin takes that job, for example. Not a chance.
Right. You know, there's, you know, you could hire David Griffin to be the president.
Right.
And then bring in someone under him. But I don't know. I think David Griffin's a long shot, and that's my opinion. From, you know, what I know, they really like what Danny Ferry's done. He's really, you know, so to speak, taken the bull by the horns in his current role. But, you know, if I had to pick the next two people on the list, it's the two other people that I mentioned. It's Trajan Langdon and Gerson Roses. And I think a lot's going to depend on what these guys want in terms of a contract, in terms of a budget, in terms of control, in terms of the role, everything. I mean, there's a lot to kind of unpack and work through there. And that's why I think the situation is probably like really fluid, because ultimately you're going to need all those people on the same page. Mm-hmm. If you want to run a successful basketball organization. But I have a question for you. Would you be upset, you know, if they went through this search and, you know, they hired their consultant, they went through their search firm, and all they did was basically end up hiring Danny Ferry, and he had an assistant GM.
It's a hard question because on one hand, like if Danny Ferry wasn't a part of this organization today and they he was the guy they ended up hiring, I feel like most people would be like, yeah, sure. That's a, you know, he has had success in the league. But now, given the history of this team and how they've, you know, there's this perception that they've, you know, been not, I don't want to say accepted the status quo, but not really thought outside the box and just kind of went with what they knew. I think there would be some people were thinking there, that's a level of complacency that's not acceptable, even if it's not actually complacency, because Danny Ferry is, I think he's a good candidate. But yeah, I mean, I guess my long winded way of saying if he was the guy and then they brought in an assistant GM under him, I'd be fine with it. I'm not saying it'd be my first choice, but it would not upset me.
Okay. So, but let me double down on that. If they just ran it back with Danny and Alvin, would you be upset?
Man. I don't, that's a tough question. I think Alvin's done a heck of a job this year with given all the shitstorm he's had to deal with all season. I guess no, that wouldn't, if they both got like, no, it wouldn't bother me. I wouldn't be super excited about it, but it wouldn't upset me either.
Yeah. I mean, I think chances are Danny's probably going to want his own guy, but I would be upset. Mostly because, like, this is your one chance to just bring in everything new, just start over, just to clean house and do that. And, like, objectively speaking, in a vacuum, I like Alvin and I like the current staff and I think Danny's great. Yeah. Objectively speaking, that's not a bad combination. And
that's why it's tough, right?
Yeah. Right. That's why, I mean, it's tough. And I think decisions should be made. If you're a billion-dollar company, you should be making objective decisions and not just like, I feel like we should clean everything for the sake of cleaning it.
Yep.
So from a technical standpoint, or I guess like from a business standpoint, there shouldn't be a reason to be upset if that was the outcome. Mm-hmm. But I'm still holding on to Danny as president and Trajan as GM.
To kind of tie this back to the start of the podcast, do you think Dell Demps would have claimed Christian Wood off waivers?
Yes.
I don't know if I do. I just feel like I feel like there's been like certain, and every player is different.
So here's why. Here's why. Okay. Because the current staff, they didn't fire anyone from Dell's staff. So Shane Cooperman's still there. David Booth is still there. Their analytics guy, Somak, is still there. All those guys, I think their head scouts, all the whole scouting department, all the basketball ops and personnel people are still there. They just fired Dell. So I believe that it was truly, you know, something that you look into as an organization. And it's not just Danny being like, oh, yeah, you know, this guy's cool and pick him up. I think it still would have happened.
Okay.
And I think we've seen it in the past where, you know, he brought on like James Ennis that one year and Tim Frazier. And there's a couple other people that he brought on. But like, you know, James Ennis was the guy everyone was like, oh, yeah, you know, maybe we should hold on to him. You know, we didn't end up holding on to him. But it was like the string of like, you know, 10 days that turned into, you know, short term deals or whatnot. And he's done this kind of stuff before. And I think it still would have happened.
Fair enough. I mean, the argument of the staff still being in place is a good one. I feel like there've been situations where, like, they've grabbed free agents kind of off the scrap heap that ended up being pretty decent role players. But I feel like there's been times where you're like, oh, like, and it seems like everyone around the league's like, this guy should be on an NBA roster somewhere, and that they go unclaimed. And so, you know, I'm not saying any of those decisions or non-decisions were a mistake, but I am. It's something I thought about. It's like, would Dell make this move? Or, you know, I don't know.
But I do like that, you know, Danny's not just sitting around like, oh, I'm just going to wait till the end of the season. He's already made two moves. Well, three, right? He cut Tim Frazier. He brought on Darius Bertans. And then now he brought on Christian Wood. So he's made three transactions, three moves since Dempsey's firing. So, again, like, he's taken the bull by the horns. And I think the organization respects what he's doing. And, you know, we've already heard a ton about how they respect Alvin. But I think if it was Danny, he would find a new coach.
Yeah. I mean,
how ecstatic would you be, though? Like, dream scenario, Danny is the president, they just straight up make him the president, and you get an actual GM, you know, and that's a guy, like a name, like Trajan or Gerson Roses.
I mean, that to me, that's definitely a better move, and a move that's gonna invigorate the fan base a little bit more, because it's at least a change, right? It's not the status quo. Even though the status quo of keeping Danny as the GM is not objectively not a bad decision, but yeah, having a situation like that where you bring in fresh blood, and then even though I'm a big fan of Alvin Gentry. If they go out and decide to hire a new coach, it's going to be a fresh start. And I think that would kind of excite the general fan base a little bit more than just kind of how they stand now.
So I'll put you on the spot. Do you think something gets done by next week? Week, I mean, like, so today's a Thursday, Friday of next week. Friday, end of day Friday.
I hope so. I mean, I don't think this is not a decision you want to rush. So you're saying just the GM, not forget the head coach, right?
not a head coach at all. But like, you think,
yeah,
they, even if it's not even like a hiring, they're just like, it's like we are. They have, like, you know, they're close to finalizing a deal. You know, like, whatever, like, the crap that Wood puts out. Because, like, you know, if you're hiring someone from another team that they're still playing, it's probably going to be, like, the end of the season or whatever. Mm-hmm. But they're, like, you know, they're coming close to an agreement, or they're, you know, he's become a front runner. Or except, like, we have, like, clear one guy, and you know this is who it's going to be. Do you think that materializes by the end of this?
My first thought is I hope so, just because there's a lot of shit to figure out, you know. There's the Anthony Davis trade that's looming. There's the draft. I mean, there's just so much that the new hire is going to need to plan for. That's the only reason I would say you got to kind of get a move on. So I'll say yes, we'll hear something by the end of next week. But If not, I would say pretty soon after that.
So it's weird because this is one of those situations where if you talk to local people, the impression that's given out is they're going to take their time. And, you know, they're still in the process of interviewing and they've done preliminary stuff. And, you know, they'll get, not that they'll get to it when they get to it, but they're not rushing things. It's early in the process, right? But then you kind of talk to people that aren't around the team that maybe are like, you know, are with other teams, and they're like, yeah, no, maybe things can get done sooner rather than later. So it's just like, it's a case of like, who do you believe in this situation? And, you know, like what's actually going to happen? And I don't think it's a matter of belief maybe, but it's probably like a situation where it's things are so fluid and it just depends on like, you know, like, what are they going to pay this guy? Or it could be like one tiny detail that could just like blow it up, you know, or one tiny detail that can solidify it. And that could maybe accelerate things or maybe that could, you know, prolong things. So it'll be interesting. I hope, again, I'm with you. I hope something gets done by next week. But like, I don't think any of us would be surprised if this is a process that's kind of dragged out, right?
Yeah. And like, I don't think to be clear and to reiterate this point, like it's not a situation where like, oh, we just want to know because like it's news and it's cool. It's something different. It really is like, there's a lot to do between now and July 1st. And I mean, and then the NBA draft too. I mean, it's just, they've got some very critical decisions for the sake of the franchise to handle. And so that's why I hope it's soon.
Man, I hope they get this right. Like, they have such a good opportunity to get this right. And I think they will. Like, you just look back to what Lausch has said and just mentioned structure like 8 times. Like, mm-hmm. You can't help but think that they know. They know what they have to do.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I just hope they just don't do something silly, like just lowball a person and just, you know, end up shooting themselves in the foot.
General manager Joe Dumars has been hired by the New Orleans Pelicans.
Like, I'm telling Avery, like, Joe Dumars, you know, Fletcher's been like, okay, he's not in contention, and neither is Isaiah Thomas. But, like, I don't think I've heard anyone say Avery's not in contention. I mean, not in contention.
I'm going to choose to ignore that until it actually is spoken into existence. So the Pelicans game starting.
And Kendrick Williams got hit in the face and he's bleeding.
Yeah, I just saw that. So we're down another player. So that's cool. Should we anything else? Sure. Should we cut bait?
I think that's a good place, good spot to end it on.
Cool.
Cool. Thanks for listening, folks.